You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Roy Orbison had one of the most unique voices ever.
How long must I dream? Dream, baby, got me dream a sweet dream. The whole day through. Dream, baby, got me dream a sweet dream.
No answer from Texas. Yeah. That's a problem, not going to lie. So we'll do what I call all personality radio. That's right. I got a little comment to make on this Court of Appeals judge. You know, and there'll be people that say that Eric Smith, you know, he overstepped his bounds and all of that kind of bullshit. And then they'll put together all these fucking working groups to deal with hazing and all this other bullshit. It's the PC world that we live in, right? No mention in the article was what this guy was charged with and why Major General Smith wanted to hear his case. Oddly missing is that. Yes? Yeah. So I just find it, you look at the guys who commanded in the United States military, United States Marine Corps particularly, and they weren't shrinking violets who were PC all the time. They weren't afraid to let it rip on people. And we now have an American military that is full of PC guys, especially when you get to senior ranks. Oh, you know, we'll have to let the process play out. You know, sometimes being unreasonable is a good thing. Let me tell you, J.N. Mattis, yeah, our beloved Secretary of Defense, yeah, he was not PC a lot. But let me tell you, I mean, he was right an awful lot. And some people don't like that about him, and I get it. But you know what? The whole hazing thing, and he's right. This shit has gone on for long periods of time. And again, I don't mean initiations. Because I had a good time at initiations. You know, I tell the story, I connected with my platoon earlier this week, right? I haven't talked to these Marines in 32 years. So it's hilarious to speak to them. And they're good guys, and they've done good things in lives and whatnot. But, you know, I look back, I go to the field as a second lieutenant, I get told, hey, you have to go through the company initiation. All right, what do I got to do? You'll either do psychological sit-ups, or which is doing a sit-up into the crack of somebody's ass, okay, as they squat their fat, nasty ass over your face, and you're blindfolded. Or you're going to take an e-tool, and you're going to hack what you think you're trying to hit a penny, but they really take your cover, your hat. That baseball looking hat that we wear in the field. Yeah. They put that down where you're blindfolded again, and they put a penny there and you try to hit it, and then they, you have to take your cover off, hand it to him. So he's got your cover, and then they put a penny down, and you get a couple practice swings. Then they blindfold you again, and they're like, all right, and I'll coach you. And then so then as soon as they have you blindfolded, they put your cover down, and then you hack the shit out of that. Or you do psychological sit-ups. I chose to do psychological sit-ups until my company commander told me I couldn't do them. And so then I watched somebody else do them. I was like, holy shit. But it was a great time. The other initiations that I've gone through, getting promoted to first lieutenant. I got promoted, by a guy named Mike Lambier, who pounded my silver bars into my collarbone. And, so it was, I mean, right, that, all cool. The Shellback initiation. Hazing. It was a great time. It was an initiation. It was a rite of passage. But for whatever reason, all that's morphed into one thing. You can't do those initiations anymore. Why? Because there's idiots out there. But who's going to take on the idiots? Oh, Smith makes it his business to take them on, and he's rebuked. I say, good. It's good that he's rebuked. All right, let somebody else be the convening authority. But let everybody know in this division that if you cross this line, I'm going to be up your ass. And I may not be the convening authority anymore, but I'm going to refer it to somebody who will be, and I'm going to put your shit right out of this Marine Corps. We don't do that, okay? We don't do this chicken shit bullshit hazing that gets the Marine Corps in the news all the time, yet we can't somehow or other eliminate it. Yeah. Hazing. Come on. Another email from earlier in the program this morning, or was it from yesterday? It was from today. Virginia Tech. The Virginia Tech freak killed 32 and wounded another 17 with a 9mm pistol and a 22mm pistol. Yeah, so it goes to the point of, okay, so we make semi-automatic weapons. You got to be 21 in order to buy one of those. And you can't buy extended magazines, you know, and all the rest of that. The sick people that want to do this stuff are going to go ahead and get their hands on something that is going to kill people. So if you are solely focused on the gun part of the argument, you are wrong as wrong could be. Right? If you're solely focused on the mental health part of it, you are wrong as wrong can be. There's elements of all of that in a solution for our schools. And if you're part of the gun-free schools, no, we can't have guns in our school. I don't want my kid to go to school in that. When your kid's laying there dead, what would you say to your kid when your kid's cold body is laying there dead? Having buried a 4-year-old and 6-year-old myself and my family. What would you say to them? Daddy didn't want guns at your school, you know. It's okay. You can rest in peace now, but the world's better because those guns were, you're not going to fucking say that. That's stupid. That's the world according to GARP. And God bless the people that live in that world. Oh, I just want us all to love each other and care for each other. Yeah, no shit, man. We all want that. But that's not the way the world is. There's predators out there. There's just a story I saw this morning on, what is that, MI-13? Is that what it's called? That group of thugs, gangsters, and criminals. There should be every resource that the Department of Homeland Security has to yoke their asses up and get them out of this country. Every resource. So, anyway. Again, Columbine, Virginia Tech, none of them done with AR-15 type weapons. None of them done with extended magazines or large quantity magazines. None of them. But they still happen. So if you're only going to seize on Sandy Hook, Yeah, that's honestly, that's awful. But that kid would have got his hands on another weapon. If he was that committed to doing that, he would have got his hands on another weapon. So the weapon isn't the answer, because you're seeing different weapons used in these different shootings. Okay, it may be, and again, I don't think there's anything unreasonable, unless you're a member of the United States military, that you can't own that weapon. Okay, but if you weren't listening in the first hour, in my opinion, if I have the mental capacity to sign a contract that allows a nation to use my life and to possibly send me to a place to get killed, if I'm adult enough to sign that contract, I'm adult enough to have a drink. If I'm adult enough to make my money on a daily basis with a rifle, and if I'm trusted enough by my government to possibly take the lives of other human beings, I ought to be able to have a beer. I will never forget a story that was written back in 2004 or something about a Marine, and they were getting ready to go home, and the reporter, you know, was like, "But you can't wait to get home and have a nice cold beer." And he looked at him, he said, "Sir, I'm not old enough to drink." Yeah, boom, bitch. I'm not old enough to drink. You're out here getting your ass shot off. You're out here trying to save your comrades as their life slips away from them. It's okay for you to go through all that shit, but you can't have a beer? What a joke. What a joke. And again, I'm not advocating that all 18-year-olds, just the 1% that go in harm's way, that sign a contract that gives the nation control of their lives. You ought to be allowed to drink. Okay? You ought to be allowed to drink. All right, I have to take a break, and then I have to go get my dog to shut up. And after I beat Joe's ass, I'll be right back, and we'll see if the gunner calls. He was sick yesterday. He's sick a lot. We're going to have a discussion about that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind. Like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was
the chairman of the board.
Beneath a blue umbrella sky. Softer than a Piper man, one day it called to you. I lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind.
Yeah, you know, I just have this very cool image of him in a black tux, tie undone, 1:30 in the morning, got his glass of scotch, which I don't care for, and his cigarette, which I don't care for either, but looks pretty cool. Singing someplace in Manhattan. Just crushing it.
My fickle friend. The summer wind. The summer wind. Warm summer wind. The summer wind.
The memo to Marine Corps Times. Yeah, on the feast day of the flag raising, you got to have at least a picture of it. Come on, man. Like, I get everything else, but, yeah. February 23rd? You got to have at least something.
that says, hey, well done, boys. Well done. I apologize. I went out and told Joe to shut up. He looked at me, thought I was going to beat his ass, and then when I went back inside, he's, I don't know, there must be somebody outside next door. Joe's on that stuff. Yeah. Joe is not, I don't remember Jack being as difficult to cooperate as Joe, as the other one is. Joe, the new addition to the family from last August. We got him on Colleen's birthday. No. Joe, man, he likes to eat everything in the house. And he's a criminal because I beat his ass, and he knows that he's not supposed to do it. And so now I'll walk around the corner, and all of a sudden he goes into criminal, like tail down, head down, slinking towards the door. And then I just start looking, all right, what did you annihilate this time? Yeah. What did you annihilate this time? And I go looking for it. And oh, sure as shit, it's there. So he knows he's not supposed to do it. I don't know why he does it. And it's not like, oh, Mac, you need to buy a bone or other toys. He's got them, man. He's got them. Like, he eats books. Yeah, he eats books. Like, who eats books? What dog eats books? So he gets his ass beat, too. I guess some days he'll learn. And again, I try to keep everything policed up. Gates. Nothing on the floor. Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah, leave the TV remote on the table next to the TV, next to the couch. What happens? Yeah, you come back. Why is the remote on the floor? Oh, the dog who's got identity, you know, species identity crisis? Yeah, he thinks he's a beaver. He chewed it. Yeah, so then we got to do dog obedience 101. Yeah, so whatever. The president's going to go talk at CPAC today. That's going on today. Email. Are you joking about Navy Times not having? No. Yeah, the feast day of the flag raising. Nothing. Another one. Well, maybe after 72 years, they thought they'd covered it enough. Come on, there's always a little angle that you can stir up, especially in the wake of the last 24 months. Yeah, we found that the people we thought were in that. Oh, I want to talk about an email that I got the other day. Hold on. Let me find it. Mac, I found your comments interesting. I started listening to the program a couple months ago, and you were talking about Doc Bradley and the fact that you believe that he knew that that wasn't him. I guess my question would be, why do you believe that? I have, since you said that, looked at pictures of him on the day of that dedication. He doesn't look like a happy guy. Maybe it was just a somber occasion. Maybe, but okay. Here's why I say that. If you go, what's the article that I would recommend? It's in the Omaha World. Okay, all right, everybody. If you want to see why I believe that the corpsman who went on the was flown home, went on the bond drive, and then retired after he recovered for his wounds, John Bradley, Doc Bradley, recipient of the Navy Cross, second highest medal for valor in the United States military, only subordinate to the Medal of Honor. So a man who, you know, a brave, 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 brave man. He goes to Wisconsin, and he never really speaks of it again. When reporters call on or near today, he tells his kids to tell him he's fishing. And he doesn't talk about it.
So his son writes the book Flags of Our Fathers. He finds he finds after his dad passes away, he's going through stuff and he finds letters that his dad wrote, I think, to his wife at the time, or maybe his mom and dad, that it was that day on that mountain was one of the greatest days of his life. And yet he never spoke of it again. So he writes this book, Flags of Our Fathers. Clint Eastwood makes it into a movie. And then this controversy comes up. And again, if you don't recall the facts of it, I'll walk you through it quickly. There's a guy who has a website, and the website's called, I think it's called the 5th Marine Division. 5th Marine Division. FifthMarineDivision.com. Yeah. It might be this guy who owns this website. So anyway, he's got this website. And so he's got a website, and there's this guy, this Irish guy, who's got this World War II fetish. And he blows out his back at work, so he has surgery, and so he's doing, you know, he's at home, and I guess his rehabilitation takes months from this back surgery. So he's working on his fetish, right? World War II, and he's infatuated with Iwo Jima, the flag raising, 5th Marine Division. And so he's looking at pictures, which if you're enamored with that stuff, I know because I do it, you'll do Iwo Jima. And then you'll click on images, and you'll just go through all these different images to see if somebody's posted images that you haven't seen yet. And then you save them. And then if you're really weirdo like I am, you categorize them, right? Landing, Mount Suribachi, right? Right? Third, fourth, fifth division zones, right? And then major battles, the amphitheater, the Turkey Knob, Hill 362 Alpha, right? I know. Like, okay. So you're one of those guys. Which I am. So anyway, this guy's looking at pictures, and let me see, Omaha World something. Omaha World Iwo Jima. And what's this guy's? Omaha Database. World Herald. All right, so it's the Omaha World Herald. Now, let me see if I can find the actual article. The World Herald editorial, Iwo Jima Photo Revelation Reminds Us That in History, the Truth Matters. Okay, so World Herald columnist Matthew Hansen wrote about the revelations in November 2014. Okay, so I think maybe this is the article. But the reason that the article is important, yeah, this is it. Because, maybe it's not. No, it is. Oh, it is. Okay, so, yeah. I'll post it. If you do a search, go to search on Omaha World Herald Iwo Jima, and you'll find an article entitled "New Mystery Arises from Iconic Iwo Jima Image." So anyway, there's this Irish dude who's on disability. He's looking at pictures, and he's looking at pictures. And I hadn't seen, I don't think, some of these pictures. Okay, others, I guess I had. So And what they do is they show John Bradley up on there's one picture I don't think I'd ever seen. And it's a picture that is taken before the first flag raising, right? And it's most of the pictures that you see are from where they're attaching the flag. Well, this is taken from where they're from the base of the flag. So there's Marines holding the pole, right? And in the background you can see Iwo Jima, right? And because they're up on this on Mount Suribachi. But anyway, what you see smack dab in the middle of the photograph, the way they cropped it, is here's John Bradley. And you see him in his uniform. And he's got the kit of a corpsman. He's got his two Unit 1 bags, which has all the dressings and all the things that those guys use to help save people. And again, you talk about a tough job. There is no tougher job in the military than tending to your friends as they've been blown up or as they're dying. Again, you're not an EMT. These are your friends. So it's an EMT that happens along with his best friends. And that's what you do in combat. So anyway, Bradley has a very, very unique, relative to everybody else, uniform. The one thing that he's doing that other guys didn't do is he's wearing his leggings. Now, leggings, their boots were about ankle. They were called boondockers. They came up to about their ankle. And then over that, you laced up, and there was a strap that went, the strap would have gone from one side by your ankle underneath the boot, right, just in front of the heel where there's that thing for your arch, and it would have gone through the other side and then your leggings, and then it attaches to the other side. So it's designed to keep stuff out of your boots. Well, Bradley's wearing his. Most guys didn't. Most guys had taken theirs off and thrown them away. So Bradley's wearing his. And then his uniform, extremely different. But the thing that this thing does is when you look at the pictures, like, for instance, when you put your mouse over the picture, it magnifies the shit out of it. So you see Bradley's uniform. It's extremely distinct. Now, to the thing that, well, maybe he forgot about it. Okay, I will tell you this, that you may forget the day-to-day things that you did in combat, but I would venture to say that if you gave most of those guys, even into their later years, if you gave them that uniform and say, hey, could you put this together the way you wore it? They would give it some thought and they would be able to do it. They would be able to do that. Because it's the way you lived. It wasn't a specific event. So if you gave Bradley all the stuff that he had on his war belt and you say, hey, put this together the way you wore it, he'd be able to do that. No, my knife was in the back. My canteens were like this. I kept the sides of my war belt open because my Unit 1s I used to hang across my chest bandolier style, like the Frito Bandito, okay? They crisscrossed on my chest, and then they hung against my hips. So I got my canteens out of there. I got everything, ammunition pouches, everything that normally was there. I got that there so I could run and I could work without these things being unwieldy. Oh, okay. So if you go to the website and you look at these pictures, you see distinctly, you know, that John Bradley's uniform that he wears up there all day is different. Okay, it's very different from everybody else. Okay. And again, not only his feet and his boots, but the way he wears his war belt. Then you go to the photograph. Okay? Now, when you look at the photograph, it's clear that this guy's war belt is around his waist. There is no Unit 1s. He's got wire cutters on his belt and all this other stuff. And so you know when you look at it that Bradley had to look at that and say, I didn't wear it. That's not
my uniform. That's not me. So if you want to know the rational basis why I believe that he did that, but you know, that had become such a huge deal in our country. What do you think would have become of him if he would have said, you know what? That's not me. I came back and went on that war bond drive and because the Marine Corps and the Navy told me that was me. I was up there that day. I helped put up the first flag. And clearly, you see him next to the first flag, and he's around there working on it. But, you know, the image they show him in 1945 is, you know, is some when he comes back in March, April time frame. Man, it might have been later than that. March, April, May, June time frame, something like that, because he was in the hospital for a while because he got shot. So they show him this blurry, this is, you know, this is Harlan Block, this is Rene Gagnon, this is you, this is Strank, this is Franklin Soundsley, this is, well, those are all guys that, you know, he knew. Yeah, and these two guys say that this is you. Okay. So now, what's going to happen to him, and does he want all the attention that goes with putting his hand up and saying, yeah, you know what? I've looked at these photographs, and that's not me, man. I don't think you'd do that. At least I don't know that I would have back in the day. I think I would have done what he did, which is said, yeah, I'm fishing. And that would have been something for me because I hate fishing. So yeah. So that's the email asks, what's the rational basis for it? That's the rational basis. And so this Irish dude sees this, and then he sees Bradley, right, in the other photos, and he's going, that can't be the same guy. And then in the, and then you go through the list of things that are different. There are five pieces of photographic evidence that combine together prove that the man standing in Bradley's position is not him and is actually Franklin Soundsley. So the funny part about it is, well, it's actually not funny. But, I mean, when you look at it, it's not even close. The flag raiser that's identified as Bradley is wearing a cloth cap under his helmet. Bradley never did that. The flag raiser wearing the Army M1941 field jacket, the flag raiser is wearing that, right? That field jacket. And when you look at that field jacket, okay, it's kind of a shorter, waister one. The jackets we know as field jackets have pockets, bigger pockets that extend below the waist. These jackets did not. Right? So that was the M1941 Army field jacket. Right? So he's wearing that. Bradley was not wearing that day. The flag raiser's wearing a cartridge belt with no suspenders. Bradley's was wearing a pistol belt with suspenders. So you see the differences. And so, but this thing stays like pretty much unnoticed until this Irish dude emails the dude with the 5th Marine Division website and they begin to look at it and they contact a reporter. Yeah. The flag raiser has a pair of wire cutters on his pouch. Bradley did not have wire cutters on his belt. The flag raiser wore his pants uncuffed. Bradley's pants were noticeably cuffed, showing his leggings underneath. And so, again, and so it goes. But again, that's my point is that the evidence is pretty clear. If somebody was ever put in charge of saying, okay, let's make sure we got this right after, you know. But I think it was largely left uncontested after the Marine Corps made its official made its official proclamation of who was in it. And this came up, I guess, consulting in the movie Flags of Our Father.
It was brought up, and it was interesting. Matt Morgan came on, who produced the documentary about this that the Smithsonian Channel ran, about how, you know, the forensics behind this and how this all happened. And it came up in Flags of Our Father, and it gets brought up by the costume guy saying, hey, I've looked at different pictures, and this picture shows Bradley wearing this, but in the flag raising, he's wearing this. And Morgan said he, and I can't remember, Dale Dye? Maybe? No, it's not Dale Dye, it's somebody else. They're looking at it going, but that's as far, they sent an email to somebody and they didn't get a response, and that's as far as that went. But, you know, look, I mean, because you're talking about the Holy of Holies, right? I was saying the other day, it's like the Vatican coming out and saying, yeah, you know, in the painting of the Last Supper, that's not the Apostle John. That's like Guillermo, the pizza guy. Like, what? No, it's not. Yeah, it is. It's Guillermo. He was outside. They asked him to come in, and he got in a picture. Huh? It's like that kind of shit. So, yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, but the forensics of it is really interesting. And it's as plain as a nose on your face. When I read this article, I can't remember the first time I saw this. But when I saw it and you look at it, you have to look at this for about 60 seconds before you say, holy shit, man. They got that wrong. They got it wrong as wrong could be. And it was that way for 70 years in the Marine Corps. That's crazy. So, yeah, so that's why I say that. And so, I mean, you can imagine the turmoil that Bradley went through. He sounds like he was just a great guy, and a great veteran, and he participated in veteran events the rest of his life, in his hometown of, I think it's Appleton, Wisconsin. He ran a mortuary and funeral home and raised his family. That's what he did. And kept to himself. And he rejected most, just about every, or I think every interview to interview him, when he wasn't at a public event. And so, but when I saw this article, you know, I start reading it, you know, cause, you know, I'm interested. And then you're looking at the pictures, okay, and then they have, as I said, they have these incredible cutouts. And when you put your mouse over them, they blow these cutouts up. And you're going, holy shit. It's not the same guy. And then the question is, and now they've rewritten some of the stories to show how they pieced together. Well, who was it then? How did they track down this Schultz guy? And it has to do with there was a chin strap that was organic to the helmet that most guys, it was made of leather that most guys put across the bridge of their helmet, and it held their helmet liner tight so it didn't kind of get, you know, loose and do anything stupid in their field of vision. So anyway, they go through the forensics of, In the flag raising picture, who is this guy? And what is common on this guy's uniform that was common on somebody else's uniform that day on that mountain? So it's the article, if you're interested in things like that. And this is what the mystery man. The mystery is wearing the Army M1941 field jacket, again, that stops at the waist. His jacket appears to be open. He's wearing an ammo bandolier. He has a cantina knife attached to his belt, but his belt is not visible. He has an M1 slung over his right shoulder without a bayonet attached. There is something hanging from the front of his helmet, and that something is that strap. Okay? And although that isn't visible in the famous picture, right, the big picture, okay, in other pictures, as they're putting it up, that strap is visible.
And that ultimately becomes how they identify Schultz as the quote-unquote unknown flag raiser of Iwo Jima, PFC Harold Schultz. But my point is this. You may forget a lot of things about the things that happened to you in combat, especially a place like Iwo Jima, but you don't forget the uniform you wore. You don't forget how you wore it, right? And so there's no doubt in my mind that Bradley knew and went to his grave knowing that. But did not want the additional attention that would come with putting his hand up saying, yeah, that's me. And I wasn't in that picture. That's not me, and I wasn't in that picture. So anyway, again, I just think it's an interesting story. And if you're into that, I will go ahead and I'll post these links on for the today's third hour. So if you check it, you'll see the audio link to the program in this third hour, and I'll also post these stories because when you do look at it, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. Eric Crelly is the guy's name. I believe he's the guy that is the 5thMarineDivision.com guy. And then the guy in Ireland who I've had on the program, I'll tell you what, instead of replaying the program right now, I'm going to give you a little bonus here. I'm going to play the interview I did with Stephen Foley. Stephen Foley, the Irishman, has always been drawn to the famous flag raising photo, but a close look last year at other photos from that day atop Mount Suribachi convinced him that Navy Corpsman John Bradley was not one of the six men pictured in raising the flag. So, I'll play for you the interview that I did with Stephen Foley. I sent him this email. I go looking for him, and I don't know how I found the link to somebody that might be Stephen Foley. All right, the interview is an hour and 4 minutes long, and he tells the story of it. And so you'll hear that coming up here in a few minutes when I get done bloviating. And so I send an email to this email address, and I said, hey, my name is Mike McNamara. I have a radio program called All Marine Radio, and I've been reading about the research you did. Would you like to come on? Turns out that this guy Crelly kind of screws Foley over. It's Foley's research. He shows it to Crelly. Crelly then, after this, cuts a different deal with somebody to make either a documentary or something. And Foley's kind of frozen out of it all. And he's the guy. He's the guy. But as I said, today, all these years later, when we think about that, the first flag raising, they went up that day on a patrol this morning, 73 years ago, to the top of that mountain. They all thought they were going to get whacked. We're going up there because that had been the focus. That mountain had been the focus of a lot of shit. But I will say, I think the United States military dealt with it pretty well. They pounded the shit out of it. And then there was a lot of ships that were shooting, you know, naval guns, right? Imagine that, slamming into that mountain, you know, out of every time they saw something flash or move. You know, not a pleasant place to be. And I think if one of the things that they did, you don't hear too often Marines talking about it was, you know, that Suribachi, we couldn't move. They moved at the foot of Suribachi, and those Japanese soldiers were isolated and annihilated. There was a lot of the Marines talk about hearing grenades going off inside the mountain as they committed suicide, and then others who tried to escape. So 73 years ago, and so they go up that hill that morning on a patrol led by Lieutenant Harold Schreier. And they put up, and the guy who I met, one of the initial flag raisers, a guy named Chuck Lindberg, it was just their platoon on a patrol going up. They took a flag with them. They get up there. They find a section of drainage pipe and they somebody's got some rope or they find something and they attach it. And that's when you see the pictures of Bradley and everybody standing around as they affix this flag, this small flag, to this pole. And then they put it up. And that's the reaction that everybody, you know, you hear people talking about. That there was this reaction to this flag raising. Most people couldn't see the flag very well, but they could see it. And that's what people reacted to. Well, then as the story goes, Chandler Johnson, the battalion commander of 1st Battalion, 28th Marines, says, hey, go get a bigger flag. And they go get a flag, I want to say that had flown on the USS Pennsylvania. There's a story behind it. The second flag. It was a bigger flag, kind of a Sunday flag that ships flew. And it had flown from the Pennsylvania or somebody that was at Pearl Harbor. So they get a flag. He sends these Marines to the hill, right? Hayes Sousley, Mike Strank, who's immortalized, and one of the, you know, you hear his Marines talk about him. Mike Strank was as close to a godlike figure that they knew on the planet. And this was, I want to say, his third campaign. He had told his parents he didn't think he was going to get through this one, that his luck would run out. And you know what? And those are the words of somebody who's fought. They see the randomness and the luck that's involved in life and death. And they know it. Look, at some point, I mean, it runs out. I mean, I can't believe that, you know, that I haven't got smoked yet, given all the things that I've seen. Why does it miss him and miss me and hit him? Can't explain it. Anyway, but those guys go up, and with the instructions to, hey, replace, somebody's going to try to steal that flag. I want it. All right, put this flag up. So they go up. They're a working party. Yeah. They put up the second flag. Nobody notices. Working party. They orchestrate the first one coming in because they're Marines, right? We pay attention to shit like this. Like, one's got to come down and the other one's got to go up. Right? They find a section of pipe. They affix the flag to the pole. They look for a place to stick it in. When you watch the video, they're looking for a place to stick it in. The guy at the base of the pole has the most important job. Because he's got to find a hole or something to stick this thing in, and then it goes up. Boom, working party. Okay, what's next? The whole thing doesn't take shit for time. But in those seconds, Joe Rosenthal snaps that picture, and it becomes one of the most famous pictures in history. And not just military history, history. That picture, faceless, you know, faceless six Marines and a Navy corpsman. I remember a friend of mine on the program said, after this happened, he goes, I like it more now. I said, why? He said, it's all Marines. I'm like, come on, we love the Navy. He said, yeah, we do. But that picture's all Marine now. I thought, nice. It never ends. And so, yeah, so then they, based on that picture of raising that flag, get brought back to the United States, and they're all heroes. You're the heroes of Iwo Jima. For what? This flag raising? It was a working party. We stuffed that pole, and it was nothing. But that's not what they had to deal with. Ultimately, Harlan Block is killed on the island. Rene Gagnon comes home. He thinks that something good's going to happen of this. And I believe he becomes a janitor at a school, and fairly bitter about the way he got treated. Other Marines looked at him as he was kind of a pretty boy that tried to profit from it. So Gagnon is not without controversy. John Bradley goes to Appleton, Wisconsin, opens a funeral home, and lives his life honorably. His son writes Flags of Our Father, and ultimately it's proven that he's not in the picture. Mike Strank is killed. I want to say in the following week, Franklin Sousley is killed, and then Ira Hayes winds up drinking himself to death. Actually, he obviously has an alcohol problem. He gets out of the Marine Corps. He goes back to the Pima Indian Reservation in Arizona, and he dies of exposure when he passes out outside after drinking. My sister died like that.
died of exposure in her apartment that didn't have heat in the middle of the winter in Indiana. So, yeah, but 73 years later, and so they came home and they were heroes because of this. And you can imagine the anxiety that created. I mean, this show's about post-related combat mental health. You know, John Bradley, I'm not going to open up all that again in my life because I simply wasn't in the photo. They think I'm in the photo. That's the official stance. And I'm not gonna go there. And so you can absolutely positively understand that. What's incredibly sad is Ira Hayes' his inability to, and I don't think it's so much the flag raising, but it brought him attention that certainly over the course of his life he didn't want. And, the guilt he felt that other guys died and then turning to alcohol and ultimately succumbing to that is sad. But again, it's part of what issues that our tribe deals with. Dealt with them then, dealing with them today. The brutal nature of what it is to go to war, the fact that you can't forget about it, and then it's on some days you struggle to deal with it. And how do you go on? How do you continue life? Yeah, not easy stuff. So on this day, you know, we're reminded of their sacrifice, their courage, that flag raising, that image, I think has inspired a lot of us. And we certainly feel it when we go to war. That image casts a long shadow over us that I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I know this. I'm not going to be a punk and I'm not going to let my other Marines down because it's my job to uphold the legacy of their valor. And that's a no shit thought when, you know, you go and you're not sure what happens. How does this end? Do I go home? Holy shit, I might not. And so all those mortal feelings you have, and then this thing, this flag raising, casts its shadow over you. And I think most guys, I'm a Marine, man. I wanted to do this, I signed up to do this, and I'm not going to be a bitch. I may not go home, but I'm not going to let the Marines around me down. I'm not going to let them down. We got to win. We got to win, as the Commandant would say. So what we'll do is a tribute to them on this day 73 years later when the iconic image was created in a snapshot, the burden that those Marines live with. And God bless them for doing that. So we'll play a final tribute to them. And then you'll hear an interview on the heels of that with a guy by the name of Stephen Foley, who's an Irish historian. And you know what? You might hear Matt Morgan after that about what he produced. So we'll do a little bit of Iwo Jima stuff today. So if you're just joining us, you're in for an extended treat. If you've been listening to the program since we started 3 hours and 9 minutes ago, you're in for some bonus time with a couple of interviews that you may or may not have heard before. But they deal with this flag raising and the re-identification and the confirmation of who was actually in it and how that happened, which I find it to be incredibly interesting, 73 years later. So have a great weekend. Again, congratulations to the Lammerer family, to Monique and Jocelyn. Congratulations on becoming Olympic gold medal winners, for making the United States, women's Olympic hockey team. For the second time in a year, the pride of the nation. A year ago, it was their stance relative to USA Hockey and their fight for gender equity, which was one of the most stupid fights I've ever seen in my life, but it is what it is. And then they came out of that with very little practice and went to the World Championships and beat the Canadians in the World Championships which is the championship you play for in a non-Olympic year. So, extremely proud of them, if you can't tell. Extremely happy for them in terms of achieving a life dream. And a final word. We need more generals in the Marine Corps to behave like Eric Smith. The reason things like hazing and Marines United exist is because into our culture has seeped this civilian shit that I've got a right.
Bullshit, man. You don't have a right. And to every commander who listens to this, if you don't control your barracks, if you don't inspect them, if your NCOs aren't up there, if in the morning they're not up, if they just show up at formation, you're losing. Okay? Because let me give you old core NCOs, squad leaders, right? They're in the walkway outside of your rooms up in those dormitories. They've got a cup of coffee or an energy drink or some shit sitting on the ledge. They've got their little notebook open, and they're either making notes or whatnot. What are we doing today? Blah, 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 blah. Okay? As their guys come out of their rooms, they check their uniforms. Holes look nasty. T-shirt look right. Are your boots polished? We don't polish boots anymore, so it's even easier. Does he look like a bag of shit? No. Okay. You're good. You're good. You're good. You go change your T-shirt. All right? Did you shave? I didn't think I had time to. Go shave right now. You got about 60 seconds. I don't care if you cut the shit out of your face, but shave. All right? And then he sticks his head into those three rooms that his guys live in or whatever, and the rooms get locked, and off we go to formation at 6:45 for a 7 o'clock formation. That used to be the way it was. That's how shit stays straight. But I venture to say that's a thing of the past in the Marine Corps. They don't do that shit anymore. So the inmates run the asylum. And so General Smith, too heavy-handed, too emotional, too much into that. We need more of that so that this shit goes away. This hazing shit goes away. This Marines United shit goes away. Because if you met this kind of shit with strength and crushed it, it wouldn't exist. It's the same thing that if a school shooter knew that when he went on a campus, he was going to get faced with multiple shooters and he was probably going to get dead pretty quick, they wouldn't do that shit. Peace through strength. So, shout out to Eric Smith. And it's not because I served with him. Because I have. All right, this is dedicated to the Marines of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Marine Division that went ashore on Iwo Jima 37 years ago this week. The flag raising was today. You'll hear more of them as the weeks go by, just as you'll hear more about Wei, more about Kaesan. But this today is dedicated to them. You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah, you're listening to that. The before we leave, I'm trying to find the file. I got the file for the Stephen Foley interview. And then I've got the file for the Matt Morgan interview. So I'm just trying to locate it where the hell it is. All right, digitally imported, SoundCloud. Why not try All Marine Radio? Come on, man. Library. How about I try the library? Clementine will... Actually, it's this player called Clementine, which is pretty cool. And you've got to index all your stuff, and oh my God, it is, it's not a nightmare, but it's kind of a nightmare. And, so in that, I've got to find this Foley interview, and it's not coming up, but undeterred, hold on 1 second. I'm good at this. Huh? Didn't see it there. Getting closer. If I spelled it right, it might help. Here it is. Bingo. Who's your daddy? That's right. Stephen Foley. So you're going to hear from him, and then after you hear from Foley, you're going to hear, I think it's a couple different interviews we do with Matt Morgan. We did one initially that he talks about what he was doing. Then he came back when the project was finished and it was going on the air, and we talked about what we watched. So you'll hear that on a day, as I said, 73 years after the flag raising. That day, after working party, became immortalized. That's right. Unless you want to bitch about going on a working party, there's some famous working parties in Marine Corps history, and that flag raising is one of them. I also, don't send me hate mail for playing Eternal Father and Taps. I know, God, I get it every time that I do it, but you know what? And I know they know I'm right. Some days, that stuff should be played. So, with all of that said, here's Stephen Foley, Irish amateur historian, Iwo Jima fetish person, who was really the key to unraveling a 70-year-old mystery. Here he is, in his own words.